North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. I'm Jack Peterson here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you doing?
I'm doing swell. How are you?
I'm swell as well.
And we are joined this morning by Evie Seberg from the Bonner County Daily Bee. Covers the city beat and other stories as assigned, I suppose. Good morning, Evie.
Good morning.
Well, a big week, last week of October and first of November. November is underway, and that means elections are right around the corner. We'll be talking a little bit about that. But I will run down our list of stories today. Out in West Bonner County, the school board has met and selected two new trustees. Paul Turco now serves as trustee for Zone 2, and Ann Yount is serving as a trustee for Zone 4. Joe Kren last week was appointed interim superintendent. So now the staff, or the officials and staff out in West Bonner County, the whole slate is filled, at least for now. All three of the existing trustees on that five-member board are facing election challenges, and we'll see how that goes on Tuesday. In Trestle Creek, on the other side of our watershed, the Idaho Department of Lands rules in favor of a 105 slip community dock near Trestle Creek. So that was a crucial step in the process for the development. The developers will still need federal level permits from the Corps of Engineers and the Department of Environmental Quality before proceeding, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will prepare a new biological opinion as regards the Endangered Species Act. A public workshop on the revised Sandpoint Comprehensive Plan is set for November 29th. Trinity at City Beach is closing tomorrow, and closing certainly for the season. We're not sure if they will be reopening in the spring or if some new lessee will take up that space. And the Daily Bee held a forum on Monday. Candidates for Lake Pendre School District, West Bonner County School District, Sandpoint City Council, Sandpoint Mayor, and Dover City Council all attended and discussed the issues at a brisk forum, which you can actually hear the recording of at krfy.org and other places online, I'm sure. Did I miss anything? What do you got?
Well, let's see. You mentioned elections. Yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just throw out, there will be leaf pickup for city residents.
Yeah.
Just a reminder, get your leaves out onto the street and they can be picked up starting next week. And I think that's the stuff we have to talk about today.
Yeah. Trestle Creek, let's circle back to that. Because Chris, I think you've been following this one pretty closely. And maybe you can explain to us the difference between a community dock and a marina. Are you able to do that? Top of your head, what do you got?
Well, I think it's semantics, actually. The development plan is for a 105 slip. I'd call it a marina, but they're classifying it a community dock because if it's classified as a community dock, which is reserved for property owners that have lake access in some fashion, which I suppose you could say the Idaho Club owners, even though they're several miles away at the Idaho Club, if they have a stake in this this new development, that it becomes their community doc. So I think there's a lower threshold for approval of a community dock versus a marina. The other part of that proposal is to do some rerouting of Trestle Creek, and that's, of course, a major concern for the fishery that is very important to the lake. The Trestle Creek is the place where a lot of kokanee, as well as some of the larger species like bull trout, which is endangered, they use that creek for spawning. They have to get past the development area and up the creek quite a ways to where their spawning beds are, and there's concern that both during the construction period and then subsequently, that the way the stream might be altered is going to impact those fisheries.
Mm-hmm. There is, as I mentioned, the Idaho Department of Lands is only one entity that has to rule in favor of this development.
That's true. Yeah. As you mentioned, so the U.S. Corps of Engineers has to provide a permit to dredge the lake bed and fill in wetlands for a part of that development. And then there's an approval that's going to be needed by the Department of Environmental Quality, the U.S. Department of Environmental Quality. Mm-hmm. And then the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has to prepare a new biological opinion to say whether or not the project complies with Endangered Species Act, since the bull trout fall under that act. I'm not sure if the bull trout are considered endangered or threatened, but they're still offered a level of protection. Mm-hmm. So there's still some more regulatory hoops that the developers are going to have to go through to get that approved.
And I imagine that at each of those steps, there will probably be more opportunity for public comment as well.
Yeah, although the public comment they did have, it has been, you know, massively opposed to it.
Yeah.
You know, how that gets taken into account is something we always wonder about.
I had been roughly aware, I think, of the concerns regarding the fishery. This was, I think, the first time I read a story that mentioned that a marina is supposed to, like, according to Idaho law, a marina is supposed to be open at least half of it to the public.
Yes.
Which this obviously will, it doesn't sound like this is going to
be. That doesn't seem to be the plan here, right? This is going to be a private marina just for folks that own property or have some kind of affiliation at the Idaho Club.
Yep. Which
could change. I mean, maybe they'll change the way they decide to operate that.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, we have a number of other things we can talk about here. We can also play one or two.
Well, the West Bonner County School District is kind of a big bit of news there. As you mentioned, they did appoint two new individuals to the seats that were left open because of recall from the West Bonner County School District. And they also appointed a new interim superintendent. His name is Joe Kren, K-R-E-N. And he's been a longtime resident, and he's actually been a previous administrator in the Priest River area, the schools there. And he's also a former superintendent, I think, in the St. Mary's School District. So he's well-qualified.
Yeah.
And there's no questions, as there was with Brandon Durst, the individual that was hired for several months there before he just resigned.
Yeah.
There's no question that he's going to be licensed by the state, certified by the state.
Yeah.
Which was an issue with Brandon Durst.
It's kind of funny to me that Kren, I think, was completely retired, of course, and had to be called out of retirement, but that there was apparently just an existing school superintendent who had held the job and held all the certifications, just living there in Priest River, you know, kind of waiting for the call, more or less, to be superintendent. And instead they, you know, went through the whole Durst saga that lasted pretty much all summer. I noticed that Paul Turco and Ann Yount were both endorsed earlier by the WBCSD RRR, that organization that kind of spearheaded the campaign to recall their
recall, replace, rebuild. That's the RRR there. That, or that citizen group that sprung up in protest to the way things were going there.
Yep, and they had been and so they had been endorsed by that group, and then they were both of them approved 2-1 by the two opposed in both cases by Troy Reinbold, who's kind of considered part of that the bloc that was two of whom had been recalled earlier in the summer.
Right. So that division exists, and it's going to be interesting there. Now there are three seats up for election on Tuesday, and that will be kind of an important mark there as to which way the school district wants to go, because obviously if three of the more conservative candidates are up for election, come back into power, they could switch this whole thing up again. But it does seem, based on the recall and the overwhelming number that voted to recall the two previous very conservative trustees, that you would assume that the less conservative, they're all conservative, I should say that.
That's true. Yeah, I've actually spoken to someone from that organization who wanted to make clear that she considered herself a conservative as well, and it wasn't about necessarily conservative values as they saw them.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah, anyway. I think a lot of the folks that are conservative, traditionally conservative, they support good schools, and they actually saw that the direction with the hiring of Brandon Durst was, who has basically spoken in opposition to public education, was contra to the interests of providing good public education to students over there.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an interesting one to watch on Tuesday when the elections come forward. And, of course, we have lots of other elections happening. And, Evie, you've been keeping up on that.
Yeah, and I was at the candidate forum Monday.
The daily, we had a candidate forum at the library, and it was a packed house.
Yes, very full. All the chairs were used, and then some. It was very busy.
So what did you see, Evie, from this? We have six candidates up for city council in Sandpoint. We have three up for mayor. And then you guys also offer the opportunity for some of the other cities that have contested elections, like Dover, I think Clark Fork. I don't know how many candidates showed up from those other municipalities.
Yeah, the only one who showed up in person was one candidate from Dover. I think Keith Congleton was his name.
Yeah,
and it was open to the county, I think, because since we're the Bonner County Daily Bee, we wanted to, there aren't a lot of opportunities for everyone in the county to be involved in the election at the same time. So that was part of that goal, and then the West Bonner County School District trustees that are running were part of the board meeting Tuesday, so weren't able to be there. And then others were traveling. But it was very quick and cordial, and it was nice to see, even afterward, counselors or candidates talking with each other and taking pictures together and putting chairs away together. That was really nice to see, aside from just the political content of the forum.
And the candidates for the Lakes Pondere School District, the Zone 1 that's up for election, they came as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They did too, yes. Jen McKnight and Scott Wood. Yeah, and they actually, I think of everyone there, had the most contrasting portion of the forum. They obviously had a few different values that showed up. Whereas with the council and mayor, mayor's more so, but with the council, there weren't a lot of major differences that stood out. Everyone was supporting more community involvement, more public outreach, historical preservation, things along those lines.
Work on the infrastructure more.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, that's an interesting race. There's six individuals running for three seats. And so voters are going to have to sort through to decide which of those six most align with their own ideas about how to proceed with city government. As you mentioned, I think they don't have a lot of difference in their basic values. So for voters, maybe it'll come down to the ones they think are going to be, you know, are best qualified or going to be most effective in office.
Yeah.
And there rather are than a bunch some. Of different policy positions.
Yeah. And there are some, I mean, I think there are some differences that are standing out to people. I think for sure, Schreiber and Duquette are kind of in a little bit of a different category. I think a lot of people mentioned building codes, but then the execution of their ideas were different. How they wanted to see those things happen were different. The infrastructure and when those things happen, I think, was another big thing. And whether like the waterfront design competition is encouraging those improvements or slowing them down was another topic of conversation that there were definitely some, you know, mild disagreements on about how that would be executed the best way.
Yeah, so for mayor, we have a choice between, or the city residents have a choice between Jeremy Grimm, Kate McAllister, and Fritz Moore. No incumbent there. Shelby Ronstadt, the current mayor, is not running again, so that's an open seat. Mm-hmm. What kind of differences did you see between those three at the forum?
I mean, Kate stands out the most to me as different from the other two. Grimm is very much on board with getting rid of the city administrator position. I think Fritz Moore is, I mean, he said he wasn't for the position, but he wasn't as vocal about getting rid of it. But we did have a question about that, and he answered that he didn't think it was a necessary position. So that's a big thing. I mean, they're all going to say public outreach, and what that looks like might be different for each of them. And I think each of them probably thinks they're going to be more into public outreach than the next guy. But, I mean, that's up for the voters to decide what they think about that. Yeah, I mean, other differences, let me think. Waterfront design competition was another thing that they, I think, kind of have mild differences on. Yeah, I'm trying to remember some of the other questions we asked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they each want to institute new things that bring the public in more. I know they all were talking about citizen forums or citizen committees. Kate was talking about doing Saturday talks with the community so that people who are working during the week have a chance to
have a weekly forum that people would come. And
yeah,
I think she said she would like to have it topic focused. Each week they kind of talk about a different topic, and The citizens, you know, as we see from the what's transpired with Traverse Park, where a decision was made and then kind of retroactively folks rebelled against the decision, it's a matter of frustration, I know, for a lot of the elected city officials that people don't really activate until it's so far along in the decision-making process that it makes it difficult to take their feedback into account. So that'll be the trick for each of these three, is how do we get the citizens engaged early on when we're trying to make the decisions? And we can make decisions in an effective way. So citizens, it's also on you to to pay attention. Read the Daily Bee, right, Evie?
Yeah.
And so you're up to speed on things that are going on, or the Sandpoint Reader, or listen to KRFY, where we also try to cover these things too.
I would say that you make a good point there, Chris, that it's the responsibility of a citizen to become engaged in their, you know, democracy. But the fact, the way that literally every candidate for city council has complained about the public engagement, has made that an issue, kind of does signal that somewhere along the line there might have been a shortcoming there. Mm-hmm. That it's not just that the public failed to engage, but also that the city government was not as active in trying to solicit their opinion as they might have been.
It'll be interesting to see if folks get more engaged. Right now, the city is looking at revising its comprehensive plan in a big way. It hasn't happened for close to 10 or more years, I think, that the comprehensive plan has been revised. We're seeing so much growth now. This is creating a lot of pressures. The comp plan is the major guiding document for that, for how we're going to manage growth. And it, as was pointed out in the city council meeting, I imagine you were at, where the protesters came to protest the loss of the trees at Traverse Park, the room emptied when that was over, and the discussion turned to the comp plan, which is the next big thing that people should be very engaged in. If you're interested in the growth and the way things are happening around here, get engaged in on that comp plan. And again, that is, there's going to be a workshop at City Hall on November 29th for that. So citizens, there's a good place to get engaged in right now.
Yeah, I think they're also, that was a topic of conversation at the last council meeting, or on Wednesday, was creating more opportunities. I think the council's definitely listening that they want more active, you know, recruiting of conversation kind of. And they are planning on probably doing like a workshop, another workshop or an open house, where they kind of have the council members out there with posters talking to people. So I think that's going to be something that's kind of a good sign of what they're trying to accomplish with bringing people in. Cause I know there were a few things mentioned by different people running for city council that haven't received any public engagement. You know, I think Amelia Boyd said most of her planning and zoning decisions, nobody's there for. Deb Rule said she's passed multiple budgets with nobody there, you know, and it's, I think that's something important. And I think whether the council is supposed to go to the community or the community is supposed to go to the council is another thing that some of those candidates had slight disagreements on. I know Deb said, you know, you have to kind of carry your weight and come to us too. We have to meet in the middle. We have to each kind of work on what we can work on. And then Kyle said, you know, it's not the public's responsibility to come to us. It's our responsibility to go to them. So that was another difference, you know, how that looks in, you know, real time. So,
yeah. Having been at it a long time, it's really tough to get the citizenry engaged in this kind of policy making early on. And I will say for the comp plan, they did, the city did run a survey, I don't know, several months ago on the comp plan. You know, what do we think about some of the concepts in it? But it wasn't very concrete. And, and it was a difficult thing to take the survey and really feel like you gave very good feedback on it. And that's kind of the nature of the comp plan. It's not the zoning ordinance. It actually says what parts of the city will be a particular zone, but it does lay out how the city should develop and where zone changes may take place in the future as things grow and change. So I'll mention, you know, there is the workshop on November 29th, but you can go to the city website at sandpointidaho.gov, and under the master plans, there's a link you'll see there on the homepage. You can see the comp plan there. So the election is Tuesday, and actually early voting is on today until 5 p.m. So if you want to go vote right now for any of the elections that are happening in the county, school district, any of the municipalities in Sandpoint, you can go to the county building at 1500 Highway 2 in Sandpoint. That's on Highway 2 going towards Priest River. And you have until 5 p.m. to vote today. Or, of course, Election Day is November 7th, and that's when the bulk of the people will be voting. You vote at your regular precinct, and you must live within the district boundaries, whether it's the city limits of the city that you want to vote on. So, as we were just remarking before we got on the air here, none of the three of us actually live inside the city limits. Yeah. So we get to talk about this stuff, but we don't actually get to go and participate. And that's kind of a shame, but
yeah.
But hopefully all the folks that are listening will engage and go vote. There are a lot of important positions up for election. Yeah. All right. What else, Jack?
I was going to ask Evie just about the crowd that attended the forum on Monday, because it was quite a turnout, and I saw a lot of people outside the library in advance of the show. Yeah. and what did we, I don't know, who was there? Was there any sparks flying there at all or anything?
There were people that are still working to try and oppose the Traverse Park renovations, and they were there protesting outside the library. We actually kind of had to, we figured out about that, the plans for that early in the day while we were working, and the library doesn't allow, you know, signs and things like that inside, so that had to stay outside. But a lot of our audience was part of that crowd, which kind of means, you know, it wasn't a completely diverse sampling of the community, I think, there. So it's not a huge sign of like, oh, you know, more people are clapping for this person or whatever, you know. But I think, yeah, it was peaceful, and they were just kind of out there trying to promote the candidates they thought were going to be the best for the community and the best for the future and future projects like Traverse Park and things like that. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the way it works.
Yeah.
We're almost out of time. I know we have actually two Sandpoint sounds this week. And I don't think we should give any clues, Jack. I think you should play one and let's see if people could actually tell. Uh-huh. I think on both of these sounds that you'd probably be able to take a good guess at what was happening.
Yeah. This first one comes to us from Evie's coworker, Lauren Reichenbach, and here we go. Anybody got a guess?
Well, we do know, but I think probably most folks could probably take a wild guess that that was the trees coming down at Traverse Park last Friday morning. A sad thing, of course. I just hate cutting down live trees. We have so many trees around here, sometimes it becomes inevitable. But in this case, of course, these trees were really important for different reasons to people, for kids that playing under it, for there, some of them were planted in memorial for folks. So that was a sad sound there.
Yeah. The park certainly does look different or driving past, walking around it. Yeah. It has changed. Here's the second one. And this came, on Tuesday, I believe.
What do you see? Guy knock on the door. Trick or treat! Gotta say trick or treat.
Trick or treat!
There you go. Thank you. Nice.
So there you go. That's trick or treating with a 3-year-old. They got to learn the ropes, you know.
Yep. I have one of those, and it is. It was a learning curve, and for us too. We probably let him have too much candy. Hard to cut him off.
I gotta say, it was. We went around with our 3-year-old granddaughter and her friend, and it was just a hoot.
Very cool. Let's see. You sent us, Chris, a link to
something to go out with here today. That's something that's newsworthy as well.
Yeah.
So there's a new Beatles song. It's called Now and Then. And you may ask, how could there be a new Beatles song when they broke up, you know, what is it, 50 some years ago? Well, it's a track from an old, I guess, low fidelity John Lennon recording where they were messing around. They were trying to come up with a song out of it. And then the two surviving members of the Beatles, Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr, they resurrected that recording. They used AI to pull some to strengthen John Lennon's voice in this, and it's apparently using some guitar riffs from George Harrison in this. So they're billing it as a new song from the Beatles, and it's called "Now and Then." And do we have that?
I think I have it. I think we have the technology. Let's see.
Okay.
turn this one on and turn this one.
Oh, one more thing to mention.
Hey, yeah.
Remember that we have a time change. You want to fall back an hour on Sunday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh,
just a reminder. Yeah.
I won't even start that debate. but that's controversial. Yeah. Whether we should do that or not. Anything else, Evie, before we do go out with the Beatles? Did we forget to say anything?
I don't think so. I mean, there's always more to say, but yeah. I think we're good.
Any predictions for the election, by the way? Anyone? I personally can't really call this one. I'm watching with fascination. I don't know who's going to...
It's going to be a pretty interesting... And I mean, both the council seems to be a real grab bag because the candidates that marshal the most of their friends and supporters to get out there is probably going to win. The mayoral race is a little different, but I can't even take a guess either.
No, yeah. I think the Traverse Park stuff, the timing of that has really thrown a wrench in my ability to kind of see what's going to happen. I know on their Facebook page, the Traverse Park page, Facebook page, they did a poll and it looked like a majority of the people protesting that were supporting Fritz Moore, just based on that. But I don't know. A lot of them are supporting Grimm as well. I have no idea. I thought I had an idea, and then I did not.
Yep, that's kind of how I feel. I thought it was... I had a clearer idea of what was going to happen in this election before it all got started. I could have made a prediction in about September, but now I don't know. Yeah. All right. Here's John, Paul, George, Ringo, the Beatles. You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. This has been North Idaho News of the Week. Oh, I'll be here on Tuesday night calling the returns as they come
and
in.
And next Wednesday we'll be in with all the results on the regular morning show at 8 a.m.
Yep. So tune in to your radio station. And there we go. Here's the Beatles.